This is the moment when something once more begins to visibly happen. Something truly new and unique. Something truly historical in the sense that history again demands to be heard. And this week's opening quote comes from Vaclav Havel. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And it's a pleasure to be here again, ladies and gentlemen. Something that we're facing very much in the world today, something that I've been talking to you about very much lately, is the smart grid, the 5G grid, the smart meter system, and all of the damage that is going to ensue because of this system, you know, really what it's doing to us, the amount of electromagnetic damage it's doing, and the fact that it's a surveillance system, the fact that it's actually also an active denial system. I've been spending a lot of time on this lately, and something that I've mentioned to you on recent shows is the In Power movement, which is a group which has started action, liability action, against the people who are rolling out this smart grid. And they're doing so with a great deal of success. And I was fortunate enough to have a conversation with Josh DeSole and Cal Washington a couple of days ago, which I'm going to bring you on the show today. This is actually an extended conversation that goes for a little bit longer than the general time slot of the radio show. So for those of you who are listening on the radio, there's also a little bit extra that is available on the MP3 and that will also be attached to the YouTube version when it goes up onto YouTube as well. So I do recommend that once you've listened to the show, you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and download the MP3 of this so you can listen to the after show banter. I warn you, there's a little bit of colourful language in there, but there is a lot of interesting information that goes on after the show as well. And this is a very, very good movement, and it's quite a powerful movement. It's quite a powerful action that people can take, and it's a means of people getting involved on the ground where they live to be able to address this smart meter 5G problem that we're facing. This is the problem that a lot of people are having, is they're seeing this danger of the situation they're in, you know, the clear and present danger of our reality at the moment. And they're going into fear of it. They're getting very, very disturbed about what is happening, and they don't really know what to do about it. But this action that is being provided by the In Power movement is something that actually can make a difference. It's something you can get your teeth into and something that you can get involved with on the ground. So you're not going to be sitting there doing nothing and just twiddling your thumbs and hiding away and waiting for the big bad boogeyman to come. You're actually going to be able to go and get your teeth into it and get your claws into it and get involved yourself. So that's what this interview is about, and that's what this action is about. And they do have some very good strategies and some very good ideas. Again, the movement is the In Power movement. You can go to their website, inpowermovement.com. I'll put a link in the description on the YouTube version of this radio show. And I'll also put a link on my website, thecrowhouse.com. But here is the interview that was conducted 4 or 5 days ago with Josh DeSole and Cal Washington regarding the In Power movement and the upcoming smart grid. So, Josh DeSole and Cal Washington, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Max. It's great to be with you. Thanks, Max.
And you guys have got a really, really interesting movement going on, the In Power movement, which is designed to basically empower the population and make some sort of a stand against this smart meter and this whole 5G grid that's rolling out. And you've got sort of legal action and you know, a liability stance that you're promoting with people. And I kind of like the idea of it because it's something that is getting people involved on the ground and, you know, putting the responsibility onto them to take responsibility for their lives, but actually giving them something tangible they can possibly do. So do you want to give us an outline of what you've got going and what the plan is with this for anyone who hasn't really heard about it at all?
Sure. Why don't I just let you take that one, Cal?
Yeah, it's I wouldn't call it a legal action because the term legal has been sort of hijacked, but it is a lawful procedure that allows people to work in what we call commerce, which is a group of laws that are ancient, that have been operating on the planet for quite some time, just sort of in the background. And what we're proposing is an action inside of that jurisdiction that is very effective because the powers that be, so-called powers that be, are subject to these rules. And because it's been hidden, nobody's operated in it. And, you know, I made a discovery a few years ago and was able to get some knowledge into cases that I was involved in, and the results were quite remarkable. So we're presenting that, and we're expecting to see the same kind of results on a number of issues that are happening on the planet.
Okay, and you've had success with this approach in regard to smart meters and the 5G grid. We're doing this in Hawaii and places like this, I believe.
Well, we've worked with, over the course of starting out here, we wanted to template the process and get a proof of concept and actually like successfully apply it to the problem of these smart utility meters that probably most of your audience is familiar with. Basically, it's a new kind of surveillance economy that they want to come in and harvest the data of what you do in your own home, in the privacy of your own home, for profit, and just basically call it. It's about colonizing the human being, the men, and it's about actually colonizing men and women, and it has all these other harmful effects with the strong pulsed wireless transmissions and dirty electricity. That's probably a bigger problem than the wireless, and it's making many people sick, making many people vulnerable to hacking and to fires. There's thousands of these so-called smart meters have exploded or, you know, burst into flames, and people have actually died. So this is a very, very serious issue, or problem rather, that is happening worldwide right now, and that most people are not aware of it. Again, most of your listeners, I'm sure, are. But so we wanted to pilot this thing, Max, and so we worked with three what we call seed groups over the past 2 to 3 years, and we've had interesting results in each region, with only a handful of people doing this process. We've had two utility CEOs step down. Now, again, we don't know. So I'll give an overview of some of the results. We don't know what role the liability has played in each one of these resignations and changes of policy, but there's an interesting set of coincidences that are adding up. We've had three, or I believe four now, city councilors in one of the regions step down and not announce they're not seeking re-election pretty shortly after being defaulted in this process, and Cal can talk about what that means. We've had 4 out of 8 commissioners, or people working at a state published public utilities commission that were being held liable, they somehow disappeared. They were no longer apparently working for the company when we checked several months after making them liable. And there's been some other things as well. We had a city attorney in Warren, Michigan, write us a letter back, resigned. And at the bottom of the letter, he basically said, in not so many words, he said, the people you want to go after are the state legislators. You want to hold the state legislators liable because they're the ones that, in his letter, he said that the utility has a budget of $20 million set aside to pay off state legislators, to lobby legislators to do their bidding. So really interesting thing. We've had an attorney general change his tune and start calling for a free opt-out after he was held liable. So there's policy changes that are happening. And just recently, there was someone who spearheaded several dozen of these notices of liability and a similar notice of non-consent that wasn't the exact same process that we're doing, but was the previous iteration of it and also used another process on the website. They had their utility in Hawaii do a 180, and there's now a lot of infighting amongst the utility and the head company about whether they're going to do the smart meters or not. So what we're looking at, Max, is for the first time ever being able to play the game that's been played against us, like Cal said, without our knowing it, and actually speak their language, which is money, and bind them contractually, and it is enforceable. So that's why we seem to be having these results. So we see this thing very, very big, and I think when enough people catch on, it can really change things.
Look, that's really great because, like you say, you're speaking to them in a language they can understand. It's the language that they use against us, and it's also a language that the people on the street can comprehend as well. I mean, this is a kind of a non-conspiratorial approach. That's the blessing of this, in a way, is that we've finally got, you know, something in our face which is a clear and present danger and a clear and present evasion of all of our rights and of our health and everything. And people can kind of see it in their face, and you're kind of providing them the tools that they can use to address this. And not only, you know, even if they don't have legal success, illegal, in inverted commas, success, they're still waking up the people around them, and they're still talking to them in a language they can understand, you know, and the result will be hopefully a huge groundswell. What's happening here, most interestingly, I just got told yesterday, is that there's been a new law which is due to go in, I think, on January 1st in Holland, where police have got the ability to be able to surveil an entire city block using smart devices. And they can do this apparently with one smart meter. If there's one smart meter installed on that block, they can turn on any smart device, any smart fridges, phones, whatever, in that block, and they can surveil anybody in the entire city block, and they're getting permission to do it. So even this, I mean, people should be liable for an invasion of privacy, mass surveillance. This isn't something that we agreed to. This is a mass invasion of privacy. It's something which is really, really disgraceful that the government is doing sort of underneath everything else that people aren't seeing, just through these smart devices, which are all being presented, you know, under the guise of convenience. So it's really important that people address this, and I really like the approach that you're using. So, yeah, good on you for doing that. And what sort of actions did you take in Hawaii that you had success with, Cal?
Well, it wasn't necessarily us that did it. We had a group there that used documents that we were providing from others on the old site, but they were very related. I just want to touch on the agreement thing that you just brought up, that we haven't agreed to this. Part of this system that we're talking about has a functionality called tacit agreement. And so what has happened in most things that are happening on the planet is we have agreed to them in this system. And that's through tacit agreement, by not saying no in the proper way. So this smart meter thing is touching everybody, but they have put an offer out there, and we haven't said no in the form that would work in this system. And what this process that we're offering does is it does say no in the proper way. It actually has a conditional acceptance, so it's a yes, but. And so that's the difference. So because we're using their system, they have to they're sort of bound by their own stuff, so that we're feeding them their own stuff. And that's the beauty of it. Nobody's really done this. Well, I mean, people have done it. There are people who are aware of this, but it hasn't been done on a mass scale like this. And so this smart meter agenda, as you said, Max, is touching everybody. And so it's a real exposure to the powers that be. They've really left themselves exposed for an action like this. They just weren't expecting this, because it's worked for centuries due to our ignorance. So we're hoping to really enlighten people and you know, use their system against them. So in Hawaii, they did a similar sort of thing, and what it ended up happening is they were going from an opt-out sort of thing. There was an instant switch, 180 degrees, to an opt-in, where you had to actually specifically ask for a smart meter. So it's kind of in limbo now. So it was a knee-jerk reaction, which is typical of what I had experienced over the last, you know, 10 to 12 years, a lot of knee-jerk people leaving office, you know, on the day they got mail, etc. So this process sparks fear in those that understand how this works, because they know it's real and they're just not expecting it. So what ends up happening is people either leave office or they quickly turn their policy around 180 degrees.
Yeah, well, exactly. By turning it into conditional acceptance, that's going to make all the difference. Yeah, well, okay, I'll accept this if it meets these guidelines. That's a good thing. And what they were saying as well, what the hint that you got from the judge or the lawyer or whoever it was who said that you need to go after the legislators, this is exactly right. Because, you know, it's these people that create all the problems. I mean, I say so much on the shows and in so many interviews that really if you look at the problems that we've got in the world, regardless of whether it's, you know, corporate malfunctioning or whatever, or even these smart meters or anything, it all happens because of legislation that our employees put into place which allows it to happen. So we need to address this, you know. And you look at the government, you know, the government says that it gets its powers from the people, but we don't have the power to do this. We don't have the power to install these surveillance, devices on people's homes and stuff. If I said I was going to install a surveillance device on your home, you wouldn't let me. So how can I delegate that power to government and then they can do that to me? You know, they're delegating themselves powers that we don't give them and that they don't have. They just make this stuff up. And ultimately, they're all in abusive office. So, you know, I think that's the approach we need to have. I mean, these people are liable for what they're doing and they seriously need to explain their actions because they're certainly not doing it to keep us safe. You know, so I like the approach that you're having. It's really good.
Max, Cal actually discovered some stuff to do with legislation. We're talking about the legislators and the laws that are being passed that it's not even being signed by the people who are supposed to be signing it. So no one wants to take the liability. Cal, do you want to give a summary on that?
Yeah, well, I'm in Canada, so we're still dealing with the Queen in a tangible way, and so the acts have to be given what's called royal assent here. And we discovered, well, I should preface this. What I had discovered is one of our lieutenant governors, who's the representative of the Queen. This is way back in my case. We went on her website, and the internet's just been, you know, a wonderful thing because you can just do a word search and find all kinds of things. So she mentioned that she had to sign all the acts before rendering them into law. And in the same speech, because I found speeches on her website, she said, I, like Her Majesty, have no power. So I went into court on one of my cases and I said this, and the judge's eyes got huge. I said, I quoted what she said. She said, I, like Her Majesty, have no power. And he, you know, his eyes got really big. And then I said further on in the speech, I have to sign all the laws. I have to sign all the acts before rendering them into law. So that's when he put his hands up, like surrender, and he says, stop talking. We got to take a break. And I never saw that judge again. So I went, and I didn't even understand the full ramifications of what I had presented there. And the lawyer who was opposing me, she didn't understand it at all. She said, I don't even know what he's talking about. And the judge goes, well, I think he's challenging the jurisdiction of the court, which I wasn't at the time. I didn't have enough knowledge at that point. And but what subsequently happened as the smart meter thing came out is we went to check the act that had passed in order for them to implement this where I live, and to see if it was signed. And that's when this whole thing really started to open up, because they were very sheepish, and they brought the actual act out, and it was signed by a clerk. And the clerk was there, and he says, I've been signing these things for 35 years.
Mm.
And I went, well, I don't care how long he's been signing them. He can't sign them. The lieutenant governor has to sign them. And so I started realizing, I don't think any of these acts have been signed. And very few of them have. So they have no force and effect. They're faking it.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are. And isn't it interesting as well that they said that I, like Her Majesty, have no power. So if you have no power, how can you sign them into law anyway, even if they were signed?
Exactly. And that's where I was. That's my thought on it. So that was my whole point.
That's why the judge freaked out and put his hands up and ran out of the room.
Well, he also freaked out because I think he knew that they weren't being signed. And she said, I have to sign these before rendering them to law. And if you understood who this woman was, she was a very smart lady, very powerful. But what she did was owned up to it. It says, I'm supposed to sign these, but I'm not signing them because they're, you know, I'm told not to. But so she was kind of revealing, like giving the full the full poop on the situation that I'm supposed to sign them, but I'm not. So she absolved herself of any liability because she told the truth. The judge knew this at the time, but I didn't.
Mm.
So what ends up happening is all of a sudden now none of the acts have any force and effect, and it's all by deception, and then we just kind of agree to it by following it. So these legislations, etc., are only in a certain jurisdiction and only have power by agreement. And the NOL moves you up a jurisdiction and operates in what's called commerce, where these corporate governments are subject to and therefore has a power that they're not expecting.
No, that's a great, and that's a really good discovery. And just reading that speech in court uncovered so much, and you probably didn't even realize what you're uncovering at the time. But that is so telling what she said. That is so revealing what she said. And like you say, it basically invalidates all of these acts. And who is this clerk? Is this person liable for these acts? And why is he? I mean, this is what would essentially be seen as forgery. I mean, it's perjury, whatever you want to call it, but it's certainly a perversion of law. And it certainly invalidates all these laws, and this is being, you know, supported by this government. So, you know, perhaps this is the wake-up call that the people need.
Well, here's one other factoid about that. Cal, jump in if you want to add to or correct this. But the what we uncovered is that the lieutenant governor doesn't sign the acts, but they give a nod. And that is deemed to have been a signature, even though their system requires a signature.
So, yeah, well, they start, because, you know, once I started telling people this, a lot of people started really pushing on this point. And so the government, they just didn't know what to say because, you know, there's a lieutenant governor who says, I must sign, but there's nothing signed. So they had to come up with stories. So now there's all these winking and nodding and, you know, well, they give a nod and, you know, and, who's to say that somebody gave a nod? There's no proof of that somebody nodded or winked or did some kind of hand signal. And, it becomes laughable that, these people who are supposed to be the honorable this and the honorable that are just are acting in a ridiculous way. So,
yeah, giving a nod, this is no way to keep accurate records.
No.
Certainly not. But like I said, look, you know, they're all in abuse of office for all of this stuff anyway. This is all a complete abuse of office. And like this, maybe this is the wake up call that will help people see this. Now, what you're doing here with this, this liability notice and the way you've looked at how this legal system works or lawful system works, is this applicable to other countries as well, like apart from Canada? Like if there's someone here in Holland who wants to set up, you know, a little cell for what you guys are doing and implementing and suggesting other people get involved in. Is there a way of setting this up globally so that all countries can get involved? You can have activists on the ground in all of these countries doing this because this is being rolled out in every single country. You know, that's what I've been saying to people. All these wars and all this stuff that's going on, it's all theater because, you know, this is coming online with any country that uses the tech. It's coming online in America. It's coming online in China. It's coming online in Iran, in Russia, India, doesn't matter. You know, the third world countries will come later, of course, but it's coming online with any country that's using the tech. So it's important for us to look at what's going on underneath the surface of all this stuff that we're fighting out and screaming out about.
Yeah, well, this is a global agenda, as you said, and the beings that are putting this out are operating above the idea of a country.
Mm.
You know, we've been born into this idea of country, and it's been reinforced in numerous ways. But really, the planet didn't come with countries, and that's one of the main illusions in order to separate and separate and conquer. So, you know, as you said, all these wars, one country against another or one religion against another, these are all abstractions and illusions that we've bought into from the time of our birth, that, you know, I'm a Canadian, or I'm an American, or I'm Japanese, or but really, those are illusions. This is a planet. The air is everywhere. The water is everywhere. It's not separated by countries. You know, I give the analogy of a bird we have here in Canada. It's called the Canada goose, and it flies south it migrates south in the winter, and it doesn't check in at the border, at the U.S. border. It doesn't even know that the border exists. It just flies south in the winter and flies back north in the spring. But if you were in a car and you tried to take one of these birds across, either dead or alive, like frozen, now there's a big problem. Because at the border, you can't bring fowl across because there's avian flu and all these rules. But the birds just fly, you know, wild birds just fly back and forth willy-nilly, right? So it's these things are illusions. So this whole thing that's happening with the smart meters, these people understand that the countries are illusion, and they don't respect countries. They don't respect their laws. These are systems that they've set up. So they're operating above that, and we need to operate above that. And the NOL works in what's called commerce or law merchant more specifically. And it's an old system of dealing with commerce that was international. So in answer to your question, it will work anywhere on the globe that's doing commerce, which is pretty much everybody.
And so what the commonality is there, Max, is that in each of these so-called countries that are pushing smart meters and smart grid, is there are gatekeepers, people in positions of so-called power that are supposed to be doing the right thing, that are supposed to not be breaking foundational laws, that can be held liable. And so what the notice of liability does is it identifies and is sent to those gatekeepers. But it also is intended, and there's even language included in the process where it goes to the, like Cal mentioned, the beings, the forces, the people at the top of this dark control system on the planet. Like it actually addresses the root of the problem within the document itself. Cal may want to get into that. But so what we have basically just our offer, our invitation for anyone listening to this is no matter what country, so-called country you live in, is go to our website, which is inpowermovement.com. Inpowermovement.com, and you can sign up. You can watch episode 1, which explains all this, and then episode 2 is also free when you sign up, and that actually walks through the document paragraph by paragraph. With some interviews are spliced in there with some seed group participants, some other people who have participated in this. So within those 2 episodes, which are completely free to anyone, you will get a really good comprehension of what this is, how it works, why it works, and what the next steps are. So the next step to actually say, okay, I want this to expand where I live, whether it's in my country, so-called, or whether it's in my neighborhood, is there's a page on our website called Ground Crew. So what we're asking to do, we're in the sort of the startup phase of this movement. We want leaders to self-identify, people who really want to create change here and are tired of all the bullshit. So we invite those people who resonate with this message and feel truth and the videos and want to be part of this to go to the Ground Crew page on our website. Let us know you want to be part of this, and then we'll be in touch as we expand and we'll, connect with you and support you and give you ways in which you can either start a group or you can help spread the word or what have you. There's about 20 different positions that we need to fill, 20 different types of roles that we need to fill. We're growing the organization, and this is, it's going to happen with the involvement of people and hopefully a lot of your listeners.
No worries. Sounds good. We're going to have to leave it here for the moment and take a break. So we're here talking to Josh DeSol and Cal Washington about InPower and the 5G grid, and we're just going to take a break, and we'll be back to speak to you in a few minutes, folks. Don't go away, and thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here talking with Josh DeSol and Cal Washington discussing the 5G grid. I really like where you guys are going with all this. I really like some of the plans you've got. And I love what you said before about the fact that there being no countries and how ducks don't respect borders and stuff when they fly across borders, Cal. I actually do a lot of work in Peru, and I bring jungle medicines out of Peru and Cambo and stuff like this, and I get them from Shipibo people and different tribes. And people always ask me, oh, the Cachinawa tribe, where are they from, Brazil or Peru? And I go, well, look, they're from the Amazon. They don't really do borders. You know, they just sort of roam around the jungle. You know, so they're in the jungle. And people sort of find it difficult to comprehend if you can't put a country to it. But, you know, they don't do this. All these native cultures don't do this. We never did countries. It's all a construct. The whole thing's a construct. Even the enemy's a construct. I think all these governments collude with each other to create these situations. And I really like the approach that you're taking.
Absolutely. And the, you know, the Olympics every 4 years or 2 years, if you count the winter one, these are to just reinforce that, that idea, and people get behind their country and wear the colors and sing the anthems. And, you know, all these things are all, part of that system that has, created separation, when really there is just one, there's really one being here, and it just thinks it's 7 billion, but I don't want to get into that, but that's the truth of the matter. But there's a lie out there that creates an illusion of reality that is not true. And, we need to get back to the truth, no matter what that truth is. And, you know, this process that we're doing is designed to bring down the system that is creating most, if not all, of the lies on the planet and causing most, if not all, of the problems. And, if you follow the money in almost every bad, what we would call bad situation, it all ends up at the same spot. So there's definitely an agenda by a few that needs to be uncovered and exposed and brought down. So this smart grid, I really feel they have really exposed themselves, because it is worldwide and it touches each person's home. So it can be the wake up call that will be their own demise, and that's what we're intending here. So
with what you're doing with this as well, I mean, it's not really a confrontational thing. I mean, really all you're doing is encouraging people to just ask the right questions. You know, just stand up for yourself, and rather than just, you know, if someone asks you to walk between the lines, just ask them why you have to walk between these lines, and will they take liability for any damage that these lines do to you by walking between them? I mean, that's really all you're doing, and that's a really good thing, because, you know, it's kind of a gentle step, but it's a really powerful step. It's something people have simply forgotten how to do, you know, and we're not going to get anywhere in this if people are not prepared to take responsibility for themselves and realize that we are all in this together. You know, so often I've been calling for unity, and people say, oh, no, unity's not good, unity's bad. And unity's bad in as much as if we were to create some sort of a spearhead movement with a leader and think we can get somewhere. But unity of spirit and unity of focus to get ourselves out of this mess, and unity in as much as we respect each other and allow each other to think differently and all stand together to face a clear and present danger is a very good thing. And I really like that fact of this, that what you're, you know, the basis of it is simply, hey, just ask the question. For God's sake, you know, ask why you have to do this exactly, please, you know.
Yes, and do it in the form that you know, the form of the system as it is. So the form is any facts that are in the matter have to be done in affidavit form. So we're just saying, okay, if you say these meters are safe, as, you know, some of the propaganda out there, it says, I need you to put it in affidavit form. And if you can't, then we will assume that they are not safe. And this is, you know, how the system works. And then if you put that thing on my house without giving me the affidavit, then it's going to cost you X amount of dollars per day. Do we have an accord?
Bang, yeah.
That's it. So it's very straightforward, contractual sort of tactic that they use against us all the time. Once you sort of wrap your head around this, you'll see that it's operating almost you know, before our eyes in various ways. And so this empowers people to use that system against the system.
And then if this was to happen, like you do this and you get, if they do sign these affidavits, what sort of, how do you enforce these is the question people will ask. How do you enforce them? And also, how do you identify electromagnetic damage that people may be getting from these meters? You know, when the government ruins all these tests and fakes all these tests and claims that all these things are safe, it becomes a pretty grey area. Have you thought about the prospect of like surveillance and responsibility and liability for surveillance and all of this sort of stuff, and having to sign some sort of an affidavit to say this will not be used against you or whatever? Have you tried that sort of approach or thought about it?
Well, yes, all that stuff is in RF, because we actually put an affidavit into the contractual matter, and so in the system, any unrebutted affidavit stands as truth. It doesn't have to be the truth. And that's where I got to sort of explain that a little bit. The system itself works on form, not substance. So an unrebutted affidavit stands as truth in commerce. That's a sort of a legal a maxim in this. So if you put forward an affidavit into a matter, like a dispute or even just a contract, then that affidavit is the only truth available until somebody else puts an affidavit and says, no, that's not true, and here's why, and I swear to this. So we put the affidavit into the matter after they put the offer of the contractual offer out there to put a meter on our home. So we put an affidavit in saying, we say it's harmful based on this, and I swear to this. If you have differing information, you need to put it in affidavit form and swear to it on your commercial liability. Well, they won't do it because they're always defending a lie, and that's the beauty of using their system against them. So what ends up happening is that's the only truth, whatever we put in there, and it is the truth, but it's also in the proper form. So that becomes the only truth in the negotiations, and therefore the meters are harmful. You don't have to prove it. It's done by affidavit. So that becomes the truth in that system, just because it's in an affidavit form.
They have to prove that they're safe, and they can't because they actually are harmful. And there are hundreds of studies, you know, thousands overall, that show negative biological effect of wireless and other man-made radiation. I mean, that's obvious. The agencies, as we know, are, you know, corporate puppets. Corporations are operating the agencies, like the FCC, which is supposed to, in the United States of America, be responsible for a safe limit of radiation exposure. It isn't. It doesn't look at any of the published science. It as most or many of your listeners know, that all of the government agencies basically around the world, in at least the largest countries of in this planet, don't look at the heating, or they don't look at the non-thermal effects. They only look at thermal effects. So they're basically only admitting to harm from radiation if it cooks the tissue, essentially. But there are studies that show very clearly that there's harm being done. There are people, as mentioned earlier, you know, there's admissions that they're using this for profit and for surveillance. And there are individuals who have died from fires from smart meters on the sides of their houses. So we have the truth on our side. And what Cal was saying was that's kind of like, that's the, I don't know what we say, Cal, but not the nail in the coffin, but basically that's the linchpin, is that we're using a system that is kind of like a poker game in a way. So we're upping the stakes by saying, okay, well, if you're going to install that thing that's going to harm me on all these different levels, then I conditionally accept it. Here's my sworn affidavit of truth. You have to match that, or else you're out of the poker game, and that's enforceable. So, Yeah, Cal does a much better job of explaining it, but I just wanted to touch in on that, that this process has gone through quite a number of iterations and does include a significant amount of truth that that we're clarifying and getting into the matter for anyone who wishes to either get a meter, get a so-called smart meter removed from their house or prevent one from being installed in the first place.
No, that's great. I really like that, the approach that you're taking. And it is important for people to understand this, that it does set up these maxims in law. That's what affidavits are really for. So it's great that you explain it that way. Have you got anything that you'd like to add to that, Cal?
Well, he's kind of explained it. You sort of have to wrap your head around the system, separate the system and what we believe, what we've been led to believe how things work. So, it takes a little bit of a leap, but what I found is, you know, the courts, anything corporate operates in commerce, because it's all about money. So, and the rules in commerce have been, sort of hidden in plain view. And once you start to operate in them, you realize that the court is just another business and it has to abide by these rules. So when they see you start operating in this, that's when the judges either run out of the room or don't want to come in the room and all these, strange behaviors and that I've noticed over, you know, a period of years. And, as I learned more and applied more, people in very high up positions started to leave their positions. And, so then you start to realize that this is very widespread and there's certain people who understand this and there are certain people who don't understand it. So, you know, you get a lot of, rhetoric about this is, you know, not a lawful process and you can't do this and all these sort of, just a lot of talk. But what you see is people who are in very high positions who have been explained how the world works, so to speak, they seem to run and have a lot of fear over this. So that's why we are pushing this, no matter what with all due respect, no matter what a lawyer says or anything, because they're just a somebody who is gone to law school and has been fed a bunch of controlled information, not given the whole story of how things work, but just enough to keep the system viable and alive, right? So so there is some mockery, etc., but what we've noticed is the very top people or beings on the planet are very afraid of this, and it's been demonstrated by them leaving office with no notice, and the coincidences are just too vast to even call them coincidences anymore. It's beyond that.
Yeah, you know, look, and if you can create a groundswell with this, and I believe you can, then they're providing us all sorts of ammunition themselves to use against, and like even with Tom Wheeler's recent speech with the FCC, when he openly admitted they're not waiting for the standards. They don't care. They're not waiting at all. They're not looking for the safety checks. All they're talking about is money. There are billions of dollars, he said, and that's what's important, you know. And that's what it's about. It's all about money and it's about surveillance. And, you know, underlying this, the fact that these are used, you know, the whole 5G grid, it's all millimeter waves. It's used for active denial systems. I mean, these big towers that are going up around New York and everywhere, and the towers, the smart towers that are going up around Australia. Now, if people think this is just about communication, they've got rocks in their heads. They really have. This is a huge surveillance control grid that's being brought online. And the whole smart system and the smart meters, it's imperative to make it happen. So, yeah, good on you for doing what you're doing. And have you thought about that, like that approach as well, the fact of the millimeter waves and the fact that there's underlying this is military-grade technology? Have you been using that approach with anyone?
Well, we started to work with a group in California that wanted to stop. There's a bill there called SB 649, and that was to do with, you know, paving the way for the deployment of 5G, making it so that any government or wireless carrier could install their infrastructure just right outside your bedroom window, and it would just be like all over the place. So we're still wanting to go in that direction. That was a bit of a last minute sort of attempt to get the notice of liability translated and in there and into that matter. And it, you know, wasn't the right timing to actually to do that. We couldn't get it into the matter in time. It's been kind of like this push fighting against like a limited amount of time in that particular case. But we definitely want to apply this process for 5G for mandatory unsafe vaccinations, and it can be applied for, you know, a whole range of issues, you know, like the Wi-Fi in schools that kids are increasingly just having problems of getting sick from this, like, industrial grade routers installed at the top of each classroom, and then you have like 20, you know, whatever Wi-Fi laptops and tablets that are just making all kids, many kids are getting sick, and it's not even being talked about in an open way. So absolutely.
Yeah, like even focusing on that, I think, is probably even better, you know, like, because, I mean, there are obviously the military applications for this in regards to the police state and everything that we're facing, all of the stuff that I've been talking about. But trying to bring this to, you know, the average Joe on the street, it kind of becomes too conspiratorial if you start talking about military applications and millimeter waves. You know, if you're really kind of just sticking to the open health aspects and the privacy invasion aspects, perhaps it's a better way to reach people, and then they can find out about these things a little bit further down the track. I mean, that's something in presenting these movements to people. You know, we've got so many issues to deal with, and there is, you know, a vast conspiracy underlying all of this, really, if you want to get down to it. But trying to present that to the man on the street, it becomes way too much for them to comprehend, and we need something that, you know, affects their daily lives in a language that they can completely comprehend right there in front of them. They can see the evidence, and they can see the way to perhaps address the situation. And this will hopefully lead them into other things and lead them into other areas, and, you know, to finding out how much they are controlled in other aspects of their lives as well. So I think the approach that you're taking is really good. It's really commendable that you've taken the initiative to do this, and that you're encouraging people to get involved around the world. And I'm also, in doing that, if you're someone out there listening to this, I do encourage you to get involved in this, because the only way we're going to really make a difference is if people start taking responsibility for what's happening around them in their own communities. And like you say, this can be applied to any country that's performing commerce, really. I mean, all you're asking for is a bit of an agreement. Yes, I will walk between your lines if you can explain what they're for and what damage they will do to me. You know, and that's really the bottom line, what it comes down to. So I really love the approach that you're taking, guys. We're getting really close to the end of the show. We got about probably another 8 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes. So, well, what would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to sort of touch on what you just said. The document that we put out operates on multiple levels. So we wanted to be able to capture those with very little knowledge of what's going on the planet, but we also wanted to provide a thing that people who really do understand exactly what's going on very high level, they will be able to see in this document that it's going into those realms as well. So they can use their intention and their knowledge in a way that works for them, no matter what level their of understanding of how things are operating here is. So it's really important to be able to get the men and women that are sort of just waking up, and then we also want to bring in those who have a more in-depth knowledge of the issues and who's behind it. And when they see the document, they will be able to see that it's addressing the problem at that level as well. So it's multi-leveled. I could even say multi-dimensional for those who understand that. And this document and this process can have far-reaching effect, but it takes people to actually implement it, no matter where they're at, and it'll operate.
Yeah, that's the problem I find with a lot of people. You know, you create something like this and they think, oh, that's great. They'll just send you the $2, get the newsletter, and wait for you to send them the next newsletter that informs them the world has changed. You know, they actually have to get involved.
Yeah.
And it's important that people do get involved. And this is hopefully something that will motivate them to get involved, because it's your health, It's your privacy. It's our world, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's our world out here. And, you know, if we stand by and allow it just to be taken over through our passive consent and wait for someone else to come along and lead the way and, you know, okay, we'll all send Josh our forms and Josh will go and take care of it all for us and Callum will take care of it all for us. It's not going to work that way. You actually have to get involved and take responsibility for your own lives. And that's what this is about. So that's great stuff, guys. I really love what you're doing. Now, what do you got to add, Josh?
Well, I just want to say, like, that's why we're open sourcing this movement. You know, we're putting everything out. Our intention is to continue to put everything out for free so that anyone who is interested in a actual real solution that gets to the core of the problem can have access to it, can download the document templates. The actual document templates are freely available on our site. There's guides that instruct you to how to fill out the forms and then how to mail them in. There is an FAQ that is just about to be posted to our website in addition to the two episodes that actually walk you through the process. And there's a coming discussion forum and other resources that we have yet to develop. We are doing so right now on a finite budget. We are, it's been difficult to get things to this point because of the money issue. So that's not, obviously, it's not the focus of this, but if there's people out there that want to contribute to this, those funds would be very much useful indeed. But the point is that we're getting this information out so that people take it and run with it and use it. And our intention is to build a supporting community. But as you say, Max, it's not about us doing this, process and being a few people in our core team at the leading edge of this wave. This is something that for it to work, it needs to be done by the people. So if you're listening to this, jump on our website, tap into this, and send the document in. Actually, like, pick. There's four people that it's designed to be sent into: your utility CEO, a utility commissioner in your region, and two government reps. And you can kind of pick who you want to send it into. But as I'm kind of explaining this to some people, sometimes I put it this way, is that every document that goes in, we certainly don't need a majority of people on the planet to do this. There's only a small number, relatively, people need to do this process in comparison to the 7 billion or whatever people on the planet, because of the power of it, because it goes to the top. It's multi-jurisdictional, as Cal was talking about. So every individual document that is sent in, especially with intention, like as Cal says, is like this, I guess you could say like an intentional weapon. I don't want to use that word because it's not in that context. It's not, we're not doing this to cause harm.
It's a counter weapon. I mean, what they're doing is a weapon. We're under attack and we're basically defending that attack with a counterstrike, and it's a beautiful thing.
So every document that goes in is a very, very powerful vote, let's put it that way, to diminish the ability of this controlling structure to continue to create this reality. So we're going to that root fundamental level of, well, I'm taking a stand. I'm using my free will and I'm actually taking a stand and I'm swearing in my full, authority. Basically, you're invoking your full authority as a multidimensional being in this process. And that's why Cal has had a string of people resign even before we started to convert this process for the so-called smart meter issue. And he, that's talked about in episode one. He didn't get into the string of people that resigned, but just to let you guys know that the top most senior civil servant in Canada actually resigned the day that he got defaulted by Cal, and there was no notice. It was written up in McLean's magazine. And this guy was the former executive director of the IMF. Okay, and there's been about a dozen or so, if not more, individuals that have resigned even before we started applying this for the smart meter issue. So this is something that it's almost like a huge paradigm shift, which I'm so glad we're connecting with your audience, Max, because you guys all get this.
People don't realize, a lot of people don't realize that there's a hugely spiritual aspect to law, and that's why so many people have such little success in law. They want to go into court with both gloves on and battle the system. and, you know, hold that judge to accountability. Yeah, I got him. Rather than simply going there and standing in who and what they are and just simply asking the right questions and being that spiritual, you know, human living essence that they are. You know, people don't realize the power of that. And so you've got, your website is empowermovement.com. Have you got a forum or like a Facebook page or anywhere where you sit there and you field questions, like an open source thing that's going on? Have you thought about joining Full Circle Project and opening up a group there and getting people involved in that, like with the community connector and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Have you got something like that happening?
We'd love to know more about that. That's definitely
I suggest you do that. Like, get involved with Matt Dow from the Full Circle Project and talk about the community connector and what you can do to link people up with this so you can share action or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, people, I do suggest you go to this website, theempowermovement.com, and get involved with these guys and look at these forums and get involved yourself on the ground. Unfortunately, we've run right out of time, or actually a couple of minutes over, but that's all good. Frank will handle that. It's good information. I'm sure he'll want to get involved with it as well. But I'll try to have you back on maybe in another month, maybe another 6 weeks or something like that, and we'll see how you're going with it and get people further involved in it, and you can maybe alert us to what successes or action has been going on.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Max.
Sounds good, Max.
And so that was the interview with Josh DeSole and Cal Washington. And folks, yes, I'm completely out of time. In fact, I'm a minute and a half over time, and I'm terribly sorry about that, Frank. Thank you to all those who continue to support the show. Thank you to all those who support the Patreon account. And thank you for all the kind emails that you continually send me. But I am completely out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In Lakesh.
Okay, folks, that's great. That's really good. Totally enjoyed it. Sorry we ran out of time, but I will have you on again.
Cool.
And I love what you're doing. This is great, and it's really good that you've got this spiritual approach to it, because that's been what's missing in so much of it. You know, people come in with that concept, and then it gets led down into something else. You know,
mm-hmm.
Always gets distracted and led away from its essence, which is that spiritual power we have and that essence of who we are. So I love the approach that you're having, brother, and every success with it. And the guy that I'm staying with here in Holland actually wants to start a little chapter here. So, and I know my sister's involved in Australia. I've sent it all to her. She loves it.
Yeah, Australia has just got caught on fire. We're getting a lot of response from there. So
they're getting screwed, man. They're getting really shafted in Australia badly.
Yeah.
Really, really badly. They're just rolling shit out. They're just saying, oh, it's law now, and rolling it out. They don't care. You know, so it's good. It's great. You will. Hopefully you will. I mean, this is what will you know, turn the country back into Australia instead of Apathralia.
Yeah. Right now we have like several hundred volunteer applications, like the ground crew that I was talking about, Max. We got like 22,000 people on our email list, but we need builders to come in, like help us to build this thing out. Like I just recently realized I can't, you know, I'm burnt, to be honest, like I'm burnt out in some ways. And sometimes I'm able to like push through and to continue to work the 16 hours a day to try to, you know, push this thing forward. But there are more people coming in to help build this thing out. But that's kind of been the challenge, is like, how can we onboard and, you know, help to manage and steer and guide and train and empower these hundreds of volunteers that we have lined up? That's where we're at right now as an organization.
Well, you need to find the leaders in that. I mean, I totally recommend talking to my sister. I'll drop a Skype in here for you.
Cool.
She'll be able to hook you up with people in Australia, the right people anyway. Where is she? She's a classic. She woke up a few years ago. She's been driving around in a car with no license plates on it for the last 5 or 6 years.
Nice.
She's got no license, no plates on a car.
How's that going?
Well, she gets away with it, you know.
Yeah.
They pull her up now and then, and they try to hassle her, and they ask her for ID, and she won't give them a name or anything. She's not the name. And if they really want ID, all she can give them is her pacemaker card, because she's got a pacemaker.
Wow.
So, and they can't take her car from her van, because she lives in her van. It's her house. They can't legally take her house. If they take her place of abode and they take it to the impound yard, she says, well, no problem. Do you have a shower block in there? Because I'll be living in the impound yard, because this is my home. You can't take my home.
Wow.
And if they want ID, she gives them her pacemaker card. They can't fucking tase her. She's got a pacemaker. She's a 64-year-old woman. They just put her in the too hard basket and go, I'm going to give you permission to drive to the next town. She goes, yeah, no worries, love. I don't need your permission. And off she goes, you know. And they just don't know what to fucking do with her. She's great. She only woke up about 5 years ago, and she'd been giving me a hard time for most of my life for being a rebel without a cause. And then she woke up and she went, oh, my fucking God, now I see it. And she just said, fuck them, and just completely disconnected from the whole thing. Hmm. And she travels around Australia. She goes right around the country every year. Like, we're talking freaking thousands of miles. And she does it every year. And away she goes. And she's contacted all the legal people everywhere. Hmm. And she's kind of a dabbler. But she knows a lot of people, and she'll be able to maybe connect you to the right people. And the people that she knows are good, down-to-earth, honest people. So, yeah.
That's great.
Hopefully she'll provide us with some help as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. I love that story. Just that. That's awesome. Her experience being able to do that.
Yeah, she's great. She's got some funny tales, she'll tell you. She's a real character.
Nice. Awesome. Did you know, Max, we didn't talk about this in the interview today, but did you know Cal's experience in, like, defaulting people at the provincial and the federal, and then he actually defaulted the Queen?
Yeah, really?
Did we talk about that? And that seems
you,
to be
you
what...
You vaguely mentioned it, but I was totally jet-lagged last time. I've been fucking so all over the place, and it's been so hard to connect, so...
Yeah. Maybe we could, like, the next opportunity we have to get together and talk about this, Cal could talk about some of, like, that and then branch that into some of the deeper aspects of this that he kind of touched on today, the spiritual side of it. But I don't know, what do you think about going in that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, let's even set one up for, let me see, what is it now? It's October the 3rd, I'll give it to LA on the 15th, That's a Sunday. How does that work for you guys?
You want to do one that soon? Yeah, I think that'd be fine by us.
Well, it's a month, 6 weeks. We could do it later in October. We could do it towards the end. I mean, no, wait, not October. I'm talking the, not October, November.
November, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
15th of November, how would that be?
Works for me, Cal, what do you think? Yeah.
15th of November is a... That's a Wednesday. We could do it on the Sunday if you want. We could do it on the 12th, and that would go to air on the 17th.
Yep.
How does that sound for you? Is a Sunday good for you guys with work and whatever?
Yep. Yeah, generally. Our Sunday morning, I guess that would be.
I'll be in Hawaii.
Oh, so you'll be behind us.
I'll be 3 hours or something behind you guys.
Well, if we could do it like Sunday... I don't know, 7 o'clock in the evening, Pacific time. Hey, Cal, would that be good for you?
Probably.
And then, so that'd be like
three or four in the afternoon for me, yeah?
Probably, yeah, 4 or 5, yeah.
We can do that on the 12th. Can you message me like the day before, Josh, and remind me, because I'm fucking hopeless. I'll be there. I've got all these workshops to do this week, and then I've got to go back to LA. Yeah. I've got to speak there. Then I've got workshops there. Then I've got to go to Hawaii. I've got workshops there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I got no assistant, and I just forget.
Yeah, sure. So, why don't I give you like 3 or 4 days beforehand? I'll just send you a Skype.
Well, if you give me 3 or 4 days beforehand, and then 24 hours beforehand, give me one 24 hours before. Make sure you send me one 24 hours before.
All right. Well, either me or Joel will definitely do that.
Yeah, just a message on Skype. Even if I don't respond, I'll see it there when I get up or whatever, and I'll go, oh, yeah, okay, gotcha.
Okay.
3 o'clock on the 12th or whatever, 4 o'clock.
And then there was a lot of questions that I think her name is Lori from the Full Circle Project. Is that right? Do you know Lori?
Lori, Laura? Louise? Lula?
I can't remember. But they've had a couple of, or at least one anyway, like a talk amongst the group there for a couple hours about In Power and about strategy. And so they had a bunch of questions. Maybe we could prepare, you know, a little bit to include some of those questions and just kind of get into that stuff with her before the interview.
Sure, sure. Have you spoken to Louise?
Louise, that's who. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Louise, Lula. Yep. But I really recommend contacting Matt Dowell, who's the guy, even contacting Louise through Full Circle and getting her to put you onto Matt Dowell and how you might be able to use the Community Connector for what you're doing. Or even if you use Full Circle Project as a way of sharing it or whatever.
Okay.
It's just another platform, another medium of getting things out.
Yeah, I think, let me just check. I think I have been in touch with Matt. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, he might be able to help you. He's a great programmer. He's a really good guy. He's got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time for Matt.
So is that, like, what scope of things are happening with the Full Circle Project? I mean, that's, like, look, that's pretty big, right?
Well, it is, but it depends on people again. It's you know, like, we create this, and we create this whole thing about, okay, because everywhere I go, I meet people who are awake, but they haven't got a support group around them. They want to get involved on the ground, but they've got no one to do it with. So I say, okay, well, here you go. Let's sign up. Here's the Community Connector. Do a search for other people who've signed up in your area and then hold a meeting and get to meet people and go and do something.
Yeah.
And they join and they sit there and wait for someone to contact them. And they never send out contacts to anybody. And half the time, if people contact them, they don't respond. So, again, they sit there and they wait for the fucking newsletter that the world has changed.
Yeah.
You know, here's the means for you for you to link up and find awake people in your area. You know, people, like-minded people. Everywhere I go, I've got no one to talk to. Well, here, find someone. Look, there's 15 people in your town that all think the same as you do, that all want someone to talk to, and you won't reach out to each other. What the fuck is wrong with people, you know? And we create the medium here for you to do it. So, I mean, I don't know. I created it, and I pulled back from it because everyone was waiting for me to lead this big wave, and I'm like, that's not what it's about. You've got to lead yourselves. You've got to get involved. And here we go. Now you can all link up. Let's get involved, you know, and share your experiences and create groups and get involved. I can't, you know, link up and find a local thing to deal with in your local community because I'm not from your local community. You are. But there's something there that pisses everybody off, that they're all pissed off at the local council or whatever about. Link them all up together and frickin' deal with it. Mm-hmm. But deal with it in the way that you're actually dealing with the legislation that created the problem, not trying to put a band-aid on the problem because this is abusive office by your employee. This is what I've been trying to promote with people all the time, which is kind of exactly what you're doing, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what Full Circle was about, and people are doing things. I am meeting groups, and there are groups that have got, you know, support groups. That, you know, I met people in England that... Eight or nine people that never knew each other before that are now doing things and they're doing, you know, helping homeless people and doing all sorts of great stuff. So, you know, people are taking advantage of it and doing it, but too many people are simply sitting back and waiting for the newsletter, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely resonate with that frustration, Max. We have, we got a decent size newsletter list, but most of the people are waiting for someone else to be their advocate still, like the vast majority. So it's like, how do we really tap into the ones that are more activated
Well, my sister's really activated, and those guys that you contacted, I mean, they'd be motivated enough to start that group, so, you know.
Right on. Yeah, thanks for that. I'll definitely reach out to her right now, actually.
Well, she travels around a lot, and she reached out, like she's gone through all the Freeman stuff and all this stuff. Also, Romley Stewart, have you heard of him?
No, what's the name?
Romley Stewart. There's a website called The Justinian Deception. Have you ever looked at that?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Fantastic website. The real deal stuff, I mean, how the name works and all that, you know, your capital letters name and all that. Now, this isn't even a language. All this talk about how it's capitalist dominion, maxima, and maritime law and all this bullshit, rah, rah, rah. Capital letters text isn't even a language. No. It's not a language. It doesn't appear as a valid text in any book of English styles. So he goes in and asks the question, well, you know, I'd like to know on this driver's license that you're using to extort money from me, you know, why is my last name first and why is it in all capitals? And what is the, you know, because it doesn't appear to be a form of valid English. And I'd like to know what was the English styles manual that the state used to compile this document. And they throw him out. They throw him out of the court. They can't answer the question because it isn't a fucking valid style of language. You can't use it. It's called dog Latin. It's the language of the dead. It only appears on tombstones. Now, so you're basically going into court and saying, well, yeah, I'm a complete idiot. This is my fucking name. It doesn't look anything like my name, but it's my name, and I can't speak for myself, so this guy has to speak for me. So, yeah, I'm a dumb idiot who can't talk. So, you know, I'll get what you give me. It's ridiculous, and that's kind of what that's. It's the same thing. It's all fiction. It's all bullshit. That's how that system you're talking about, that they've kind of trapped us in here. They haven't even signed any of these freaking laws that we're agreeing to.
No.
I mean, the whole thing is such fiction. It's such word magic and such a play.
Yeah.
But Romney goes through that very, very well on his website, and he got into a lot of hot water over it. But they basically, it brought an estoppel on his case, and it brings an estoppel on any case because you're simply asking a question that they cannot answer. Because it is not a language. Just, yeah, you know, I'm happy to go ahead. Just a clarification. Which English styles manual did you use to compose this document or compile this document?
Exactly.
That's it. End of case.
We just take that same concept and go, if you can't show me that, then it's going to cost you $100 a day for the rest of my life. And that's, like, as soon as you take that step, that's when they go, whoa, now this is actually costing me something, right?
Exactly, because you put it back up into commerce, which is what it all is anyway, UCC bullshit. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, Max, we just did the ninth and final round before enforcement with the Seattle group, and afterwards there was just a good, you know, presence, a good spiritual presence there in that meeting, especially the second half of it. And there was a couple people that were sharing about their experience and actually applying this in other stuff. Like they're doing land patents to actually own their lands and not just rent it from the government. They're going through this process, and it said it takes about a month to do one for each of their three properties. But they were telling stuff about how, like, whenever anyone sends them a bill or says you owe a certain tax or you have to do this or tries to, you know, do anything with them, they simply bill them in response. They have like a fee schedule for any administrative process. This is my fee schedule. If any court appearance costs this much, and they just simply stand their ground. They send a bill. They stand their ground. And they say everybody goes away. they all leave them alone. Like, it's amazing. But that's because they really know this, they believe in it, and they have fun with it and they're committed to it.
And they're applying
and they're applying it,
like Max says. It's not waiting for somebody else to, you know, go through it and hear their stories and applaud. They're actually going, hey, I see how this works and I'm actually gonna use this. And when you do it, that's when you get the results.
Yeah, but it's also having the intention of doing that as well and standing in that power, knowing it. You know, if you do it and think, oh, gee, I wonder if this will work. No, it won't, because they'll send you back one question and you'll fall.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to stand in it. Yeah. You've got to know it. Like you say, the guys have fun with it because they know it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there is no such thing as a legitimate owner and there is no such thing as a legitimate slave. It's as simple as that. And people have to stop believing that they have owners. They really do. Look, guys, I've got to go, and I really love what you're doing, and we'll definitely have you back on for, you know, in November the 12th. Even when I post this, I might even leave some of this after-show banter on the MP3.
Yeah.
For the listeners to get the whole after-stage swearing routine and everything. They love that. So, if I do that, then it's for you guys. I've done this, the listeners, you know. So.
Your editor is just like, oh. That was so good.
I do all the editing, brother. It's a one-man show. Everything you see from the Crow House is a one-man show. I've been trying to get an assistant for the last ever, but it'll happen. All right, guys. Love your work, and we'll speak soon. I'll talk to you next month, definitely.
All right. Sounds great, Max. Thank you.
Peace.
All right, guys. Take care. This will go to air next Friday, and the MP3 will be up straight after. It goes be posted to YouTube straight after. Okay.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.